Driving around the area, sometimes I've been behind a car that has a bumper sticker that says coexist. And it's made with all these different symbols. Some are religious symbols, some are non-religious. Like there's a symbol for paganism, a symbol for gay rights. And of course there's the little happy peace symbol that we all knew from the 60s. Coexistence is rather an irritating kind of bumper sticker, actually, because one has to wonder, do we just want to coexist? It's like all these different things are on an equal par, but they're also hostile towards each other. So if we're just going to coexist, I guess the bumper sticker suggests that we should just keep our mouths shut, keep our beliefs to ourselves, and let's just be friends, so to speak. But do we want to just be happy with coexistence and not have some undergirding truth that establishes a true peace? After all, at Mass, I don't say, let us offer each other the sign of coexistence. No, we want to have peace. Well, if we aren't going to have truth principles, and all of us are just going to keep our mouths shut, views to ourselves, and just try to get along, guaranteed, some overarching power will take control and tell us how to live. Moreover, each of us, poor victims of original sin, is going to want to assert our will. We have that prideful, selfish inclination. For instance, think of the Arab world right now. Take Syria. For over a year now, we've seen this war going on. And it's not simply government versus the people. No, we have Muslim sects fighting with each other. Sunnis versus Shias versus Alawis. One would think, being Muslim, there'd be some kind of common ground and they'd be able to live peacefully. No. It's like they've lost sight of reason. It's like, I will do what I want to do, and everyone else will do that too. The poor Christians, of course, are right in the middle. What kept them at peace for so long? That overarching dictatorship. Gone? Look what's happened. Same true for the rest of the Muslim world right now. But think about our own country too. We have this idea that there should be a political correctness. It's almost like this overarching power of political correctness. Unfortunately, such an idea disregards the very foundation of our country. If we go to the Declaration of Independence, we hear reference to the Creator, capital C, meaning God, and that God gave us certain rights, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. No party gave us those rights. God did. And then, too, we have rights like freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and so on. Not because a government gave us those. No, God gave us those. And no matter who we are, no matter what our beliefs are, particular religious beliefs, we have these fundamental beliefs. But we've lost sight of that. We've lost sight. And it's now my will decide. And so there's this overarching political correctness that says, you're going to believe this way. Notice how people who disagree with this power are called maybe a bigot or a racist or someone who committed a hate crime anymore. Notice how the media, the great perpetrator of all of this, likes to just present a certain message, sometimes only giving a half-truth. Take, for instance, recently Pope Francis made the headlines with a comment he made about that, who am I to judge someone who has a same-sex attraction? And there were those media people who said, oh, the Catholic Church is going to change its whole teaching and so on. No, they left out that Pope Francis began with, the Catechism's very clear, but we distinguish the person from the action. The action is what is wrong and sinful, but the person is loved by God. The media didn't suggest that, did they? And Diane Sawyer even took a few shots at Pope Benedict and Pope John Paul II for their previous teachings. Oh, so misleading. Disagree with the powers that be, and you're like the outcast. Sometimes I wonder if I'll be like the prophet Jeremiah and one day be arrested for how I preach, preaching the gospel truth. Not far-fetched. Just think, this past week we heard of how a Baptist pastor named Donnie McClurkin, who was also a Grammy Award singer, was disinvited from the celebration of the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington simply because of his gospel preaching. Where's the peace there? Oh, it's coexistence maybe, but it's like coexistence. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your religion within your church. Don't take it outside. And the overarching power of the political correctness will take control. Well, my brothers and sisters, just like the Middle East, we're setting ourselves up for a huge explosion. If we want peace, if we want peace in our lives, our families, our communities, our nation, our world, that peace has to be based on justice, and justice has to be based on truth. And where do we find that truth? A truth for everyone. Truth is God. God is truth. God has revealed that truth to us. Now, we look at ourselves. We believe each person, no matter who that person is made in God's image and likeness. A person is endowed with intellect and the ability to reason. And with that intellect and power of reason, a person can look at his human nature and say, this is true. This is how a human ought to live. We call this the natural law. It's not the law of nature. No, it's the natural law, meaning it's based on our human nature with how God has made us in his image and likeness. Anyone can know the natural law. Take, for instance, the pagan Roman Cicero, who said, there is a true law, right reason. It is diffused among all men, immutable and eternal. It orders a summons to duty and orders a prohibition to turn away from offense. St. Augustine said that this law, this natural law, is imprinted on our soul just like wax. And so you and I, through reason, can know fundamental principles no matter what our particular religious beliefs may be. But principles that bring about peace. Consider, for instance, the Ten Commandments. Now, we've been blessed that, yes, God specifically revealed the Ten Commandments, but if we were an atheist even, looking at who we are, could we not derive the last seven? That it is important to honor mom and dad, mother and father, and really anyone in authority? That it is true that we should not kill or commit adultery, or steal, or lie, or covet? They all make sense. One doesn't have to be a Jew, a Christian, a Muslim, or anyone to have those Ten Commandments, really, at least the last seven. Anyone, through reason, can know these commandments. And think how peaceful our world would be if people using their reason, instead of using their prideful, selfish inclinations, would live those commandments. We would have greater peace in our own world, our own schools, our own communities. Given this, we can remember that when Abraham Lincoln spoke against slavery, especially in the Lincoln-Douglas debates, he referred to the natural law. He said slavery's wrong because it violates our human dignity. Not because some legislature said that slavery is correct and should be allowed. Not because we have a Supreme Court in 1856 who said it was constitutional. Slavery is wrong because it violates our human dignity. When Dr. Martin Luther King 4 months before the march in Washington, wrote his letter from a Birmingham jail in April. He said segregation was wrong because of the natural law, quoting even St. Thomas Aquinas. He didn't say this is a Christian issue or a Jewish issue. He said this is fundamental to human dignity, all based on reason. But think how we live our lives today. We've so often forgotten reason. And that's the real goal of this overarching political correct power. For instance, we believe as Catholics, and it is very reasonable, that human life is sacred, from conception till natural death. Remember a few weeks ago, everyone was excited about Prince William and Kate Middleton, his wife's coming baby. When will the baby be born? Will the baby be a boy? Will the baby be a girl? And everyone was excited, and so on. And now we have little baby George. Someone from Planned Parenthood could easily have said, well, Prince William and Kate are expecting a fetus, and eventually that fetus will be born. But if Kate, and only Kate, decides she no longer wants to continue this pregnancy, she may terminate it. What an absurd kind of rationale. But that's Planned Parenthood. Never forget that. And that's the whole pro-choice mentality. That is absurd. It defies reason. Or think about marriage. It makes sense that we have a man and a woman united as husband and wife because they can have children, and that's how society grows. Yet we've changed that idea, too. There are those that want to say, well, we can have any combination, go to any kind of clinic to manufacture a child, and that's when we can have a family. Absurdity. Truly absurdity. Defies reason. Or, shouldn't a person be treated as a person with respect all through life? And so we do care for those who are sick, the elderly, the disabled, those who are dying. That makes sense. And yet, there are those who will say, that person is in a persistent vegetative state, now a vegetable. That vegetable should no longer have food and water. Absurdity. Unreasonable. Yet that's our society. And when we lose sight of truth, guaranteed there will be no justice. And guaranteed there will be no peace. Go back. If we want peace, there has to be justice, and justice has to be based on truth. We have a special challenge. Guaranteed. Because we have Christ. Yes, Jesus said in the gospel, I've come to set fire on this world. Now, any good Jew would immediately think God spoke to Moses in a fiery bush. A column of fire protected the Jewish people from the Egyptians and led them through the Red Sea to the Promised Land. A cloud of fire descended upon Mount Sinai, and there God revealed the Ten Commandments to Moses. So when Jesus says, I've come to set a fire on this world, he's saying, I've come to perfectly reveal God's truth, God's love, and to ignite in your own hearts the same kind of fire. Jesus wants his followers to be on fire with the love of God, enlightened by his truth, with a will strengthened to do what is right and just, and to cast on that fire to others. It's interesting, too, that when we think of Jesus, true God who became true man, he is the Word who became incarnate, capital W Word, which in Greek is logos, which also means reason. Everything our Lord revealed is reasonable. So these truths you and I have to take to heart and have that fire to go out. Think of the apostles filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Those 12 apostles went out and converted a pagan Roman empire. St. Paul speaks of this cloud of witnesses. Those great saints, many mentioned, early martyrs in our Roman canon, they set fire to so many people, causing them to want to be Christians, so that by the year 313, Christianity was legalized. And look at the church today. It still lives. But you and I, who've been baptized and confirmed with those same gifts of the Holy Spirit, have to be on fire with God's love. Not easy. That takes great courage, my brothers and sisters. It takes courage to bear witness, not just to God's truth, God's love. Think, though, of like Mother Teresa. Yes, Mother Teresa always took the opportunity to defend the right to life, from the unborn child to the little orphan to those who were sick, dying. The unwed mother, to this day, her sisters take care of those people who are so easily forgotten, abandoned, marginalized, disposed of. But Mother Teresa not only spoke about it in love, she did it. And that's what we need to do. We can't just talk. We have to show there's a greater love that is the foundation of the truth, that builds the justice, and only then do we have peace in our world. Perhaps we should look at an example of St. Francis of Assisi, one who set the world on fire in his time. David Knowles, the great British historian, even said that if any person saved the church in the Middle Ages from collapse, it was St. Francis of Assisi. But notice what he said in his prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, unity. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is error, truth. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. Where there is darkness, light. Even Lenin said if he had 10 men like St. Francis of Assisi, he could conquer the world. Well, my brothers and sisters, if we were really on fire with the love of Christ, really living, being enlightened by his truth, and trying as best we can to create a just world, wouldn't we be great instruments of Christ's peace? Wouldn't our world be much more peaceful? Not simply coexisting with one another, truly a peaceful world. May God bless you.